T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In just about 30 minutes, it's a Thursday tradition here on Evan and Tiki. We hear from the ever-controversial Bad Tiki in exactly a half hour. We'll talk to Craig Carton in a few minutes about everything going on with Shohei Ohtani. If you missed the start of the show, my biggest concern around what's going on with Ohtani is I don't trust MLB. So hit the rewind app right at 2 o'clock. That was my fear. I don't trust them. I don't trust the sport to investigate because right now they're not even investigating. Now, one thing, and I don't know if you differ with me on this, obviously we've entered a new world when it comes to sports gambling, the legalization of it, athletes being technically allowed to do it. If it came out that Shohei Ohtani was betting on the NFL and the NBA and college basketball and soccer, and yeah, it was a lot of money. Now, obviously, in this case, it would be illegal, but let's say he was doing it legally. I wouldn't be overly concerned about that.
I wouldn't be either. And Major League Baseball wouldn't care. It doesn't. It wouldn't matter.
I agree. But
as
I think
as long as it's not baseball, as long as it's not your team, and as long as it's not illegal, Major League Baseball doesn't have a restriction against it.
But you wouldn't care. Because I know there are many that think it's the slippery slope of, if you're betting on this sport, why wouldn't you go to that sport?
I wouldn't care because, guys, it's not even about the sport. It's more about, like, the recklessness of gambling, and when you have so much money, like the danger that it could provide, they could present to you. And this could be table betting, right? This could be going to casinos and, you know, laying down $100,000 a hand on poker or whatever the heck it is. It would worry me that you're going to ruin your life, right? You're going to put yourself in debt for unnecessary reasons when you have everything going for you. But from a integrity of the game standpoint, not at all.
It wouldn't worry you that slippery slope could eventually move into the sport that you know more about?
I don't know.
Because if you have a gambling problem, don't you think it's easier, especially when you get really competitive and really desperate, to say, well, why didn't I just bet on the game I have more inside information about?
Yeah, I mean, in theory, yes. But I think athletes should be. I'm not saying they are, but they should be aware enough to know that that kills your career. It's just, like, there's too many examples. There's no wiggle room.
Yeah,
you're not explaining yourself away. You're not saying, oh well, you know, see what happened was that's not working. You're done. You're done for life. And I don't think guys are stupid enough to do that.
I do know that if I was this world class athlete, like I was making a ton of money and I was badass, but I was in Japan where I didn't know the language. I didn't. You know, I don't speak any Japanese. Mm-hmm. I'm picking up on certain phrases and whatnot. I did take it in my senior year in high school. I got like a C+ in it or something like that. But if I'm living in Japan making just tons of money, but I'm living in Japan, I don't know the language. I don't even know the culture. I don't even know where to go. There's a really good chance I would be home every single night, bored to death. Am I wrong? Like, I think a lot of us would probably think the same way. And what I would do is I probably would find the need to find something that keeps me from being completely bored. So I could see myself in Japan as this multimillionaire saying, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bet on soccer because I need something to do, because the last thing I'm doing is going out where I can't communicate. And while Ohtani has picked up terms and whatnot, I'm just putting myself in his shoes.
Yeah.
Like if I was living in another country in which I didn't know the language, dude, I'd be at home gambling probably.
Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever been somewhere? Have you ever traveled where you don't know language?
Believe it or not, not really.
Not really. So I did
this. I stayed at the Americas.
So I did this.
Yes.
And it was when I was working for NBC. I was really working for MSNBC for the Olympics in 2008. So we're in China, and we have a what we call a fixer.
Mm-hmm.
This girl who took us around and made sure everything was fine. Like when we'd go to dinner, she'd make sure we'd have the right menus, all that stuff. And then one day she took us to this town. I mean, it wasn't that far outside of Beijing, but it was far enough where it felt like, man, I'm in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
And I remember asking her, I was like, what would happen if you left? And she said, first of all, most of these people have never seen a black person because TV is controlled.
Right.
Right. And nobody speaks English. Nobody.
Mm.
So you'd have to figure it out yourself. Like no one could help you.
Right.
And it was the only time, to what you're saying, where I felt nervous.
Yeah.
Right. And so, because I'm surrounded in a place that I have no way to communicate with. But I honestly think if I was in a major city, though, I'd want to go find the fun. You know what I mean?
You'd want to find the fun, but what if when you find the fun, you can't even like communicate while you're doing the fun?
Yeah, but you're like,
how do you do the fun when you can't talk?
You're rich. You have money. You have the local currency. Like, you'll figure it out.
I don't know, man.
I honestly do.
Would you?
I think most guys, they would go out and have fun.
Well, you know what? When you say most guys, usually I don't fit in that. I'm just saying I could understand how Shohei Ohtani, the megastar that he is, living in the United States of America, where we speak a language that he's learning a little bit but still doesn't know, and you can imagine how overwhelming it is, because I'm imagining how overwhelming it would be for me.
So you're saying he's going to just introvert. He's going to become a homebody.
I can see
and be bored.
Look, my point is, I think sometimes people have the wrong opinion of gambling, where it's simply, well, he's a millionaire. Why would he gamble?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't compute.
Well,
it doesn't matter how much money you have.
By the way,
sometimes you're doing it for the action, for the entertainment that it brings.
And that's why a lot of millionaires do gamble.
Yeah, of course.
Because they need the rush. They need something to get their blood boiling. But I also think for baseball specifically, it'd be really hard to be stuck in that. Because they travel so much.
Yeah, but there's a lot of downtime, dude.
In the offseason.
Even during the season.
Is there?
Okay, let me walk you through it. You play a game, it's over at 10 o'clock, you're back in your hotel on the road at 11:15. You're not just passing out and going to sleep, you just played a baseball game.
Okay.
What the hell are you doing all night?
Going to meet buddies and have a drink?
I know what you were about to say. Meet some random ladies.
Exactly. I mean, he wasn't married.
You wake up. Now what? You may not go to the ballpark till 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Go to the gym. Get a sweat going on.
See, you and I are very different. I see how you're looking at this as, you know, I do this, I do that, I do this.
Dude, I'm telling you, if I was making 15, 20, whatever the heck, 30, $70 million a year to play baseball, all I would do would be baseball. That's all I would do. I'd be obsessed with it.
Don't you think it's healthy to get away from that? Instead of doing it all the freaking time?
Making that much money? I don't know how you can do anything but that.
All I'm saying is I can see if Ohtani is linked to actually gambling, which as of right now, he's not.
No.
All that he's linked to is an interpreter who was gambling and a story that's changed multiple times in terms of how $4.5 million went from Shohei Ohtani's bank account to this illegal bookmaker.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I could see in this world Ohtani's living in how he would want to gamble, how he would want to bet on sports.
If that was in his blood.
Or if it's just something he needs to entertain himself with. I can see it. Let's go to Reggie in Waterbury. What's up, Reggie?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good, Reggie.
Good, man. What's up?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout.
15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I have a question for all you gentlemen. Let's say if Shohei has been acquitted, find guilty of gambling.
Okay.
And they suspend him for a year. And if the Dodgers has an opt-out, and would you do the opt-out, or would you...
Well, hold on. Let's straighten a couple of things out. The Dodgers don't have any kind of quote-unquote opt-out.
Mm-hmm.
Ohtani has a clause in his contract that if the Dodgers fired the team president, he could opt out and become a free agent. So the Dodgers have Shohei Ohtani. He is on their team for as long as Ohtani is willing to be there, unless Andrew Friedman gets fired, and then he could opt out. The only way, as Tiki said, Ohtani could ever be suspended for quote-unquote gambling is if he gambled on baseball.
Yes, and he, not via proxy, he gambled on baseball. So if he made the bet, he can be suspended for a year or for life.
Okay, that's one thing. The other possibility, and this is the way it's written in the MLB CBA, is any player, umpire, club, or league official, or employee who places bets with illegal bookmakers or agents for illegal bookmakers shall be subject to such penalty as the commissioner deems appropriate in light of the facts and circumstances of the conduct.
Yeah.
So,
right now, that's what he's facing.
Well, that's what he could potentially be facing, because even if it's not baseball, if he made a bet on anything, but it was done with an illegal bookmaker, according to the way that's written, the commissioner can give him something, whatever that is. That could be nothing. It could be, a fine. It could be five games. Who the hell knows? Anyhow, it's very difficult to book this man. And that, of course, is the great Craig Carton, you can watch on TV every single morning. Craig, how you doing?
Yeah, you can watch on TV in the morning on FS1.
That's I didn't give you the full plug? I'm sorry. FS1, you know what? Here's the problem. I was a little turned off by you this morning, because I do check in on you every once in a while.
Yes, I appreciate that.
And, I'm about to rip you. I didn't like the fact that you were celebrating the anniversary of trading for Tim Tebow, as if it was like something great in Jet history.
Listen, you and I view the Jets history differently. I still have the video of Tim running without a shirt on in the rain on my phone on constant loop. So it's like a celebration in a weird way for me as a Jets fan.
Yeah, it's amazing.
One of the hottest moments I've ever had.
And you know what's crazy? Jets haven't been in the playoffs since. Wow. They have not made the playoffs since they made that deal.
How come there's no video of you running topless in the rain as a Giant?
Well, I did take my shirt off on this show. Couple weeks ago.
But it wasn't raining.
It was not raining.
Next time.
I could be because I do run in the rain all the time, Craig.
You know what I'll do?
Nobody's filming me.
Next time you take your shirt off in the studio, I'm going to spritz my Poland Spring water on you and see what happens.
Oh, that'll be sexy.
Now, you obviously bring a unique perspective to all this as somebody that obviously dealt with the demons of gambling. When you saw this story late last night or early this morning, What was your first reaction to everything that came out, from the changing story to what we now know about Ohtani and his involvement in this?
Well, my first reaction was, A, I find it very hard to believe the current narrative of what has allegedly taken place. And B, I think the advisors to Shohei Ohtani have done him a tremendous disservice in changing the story so quickly after they're the ones that put the interpreter in front of reporters for well over an hour in between the two games in Seoul, Korea, the last couple of days. Because it's one thing if you're going to try to convince the public that Shohei Ohtani is completely clueless as to his finances and money coming in and out of his account and was duped by a close friend, or even if you want to take it, you know, and be true to what the original story was. He's got a dear friend who's got a gambling problem, gets himself in hot water. He has the financial resources to bail the friend out. That's a great narrative. That's a great story. Who wouldn't want to have a friend in their life that's willing to do that for you if they can afford it? And you can sell that story, too.
Yep.
The issue, though, is when you come out an hour later and now say not only did Shohei Ohtani not bail his friend out and not, you know, help him out with a major gambling debt, the money was stolen from his account. Mm. That's a complete polar opposite of the original story. And they're the ones that orchestrated the original story. So for me, I'm not naive enough to believe that there's a lot of smoke and no fire. And I think over the course of the next couple of weeks, maybe months, you know, as the federal investigators start looking into this now, which they're doing already because of the allegations that there's this illegal bookmaker in Orange County, California, that's under investigation, they're not going to leave any stone unturned. And God forbid there's a single bet, I don't care who made it, on baseball, you now have the most prominent athlete in the world who happens to be a baseball player who is not going to be allowed to play baseball, should that be the case.
Yeah, especially if it's on, if it's, well, it's life if it's on the Angels, but it'll be obviously just a year if it's on baseball at all. But is this not plausible, Craig, that Shohei Ohtani's lawyers allowed iPay to speak, and he started to say something that they immediately realized made Shohei Ohtani not a victim, but more liable for putting money or giving money to an illegal gambling ring, right? If he just doing that, just Shohei Ohtani doing that is a crime in California. So didn't they just hear iPay say, you know what? You just implicated your partner, your friend, Shohei, in a crime. So they had to change it. Like, they had to flip the narrative.
So it gets a little murky on that specific part of the story, Kiki, for a couple of reasons. One, they've got the bank transfers from Shohei's personal bank account to this alleged bookmaker. So there's no disputing that money was sent from his account to the bookmaker. It's going to be very hard for anyone to buy the notion that Shohei at some point does not become aware that there's bank transfers from his personal account. The legality or illegality of this story, you know, is confusing for a lot of people. California, of course, quite famously has voted down, I think twice now, the attempts by lawmakers to legalize gambling the way we have it in New York and New Jersey and about 35 other states here. But it's never been illegal to place the bet. It's always been illegal to book the bet. And that comes down to what they call the vigorish or the vig, which is, you know, you risk 110 to win 100, that type of thing.
Right, right.
So while it's, and the baseball language is very clear that it's no problem for baseball players, much like hockey players in the NHL, football players in the NFL, and basketball players in the NBA, they are all allowed to make legal wagers on every sport other than their own. And the wording is very specific that if you make a wager that's not legal, it doesn't mean you've broken the law.
Mm-hmm.
It just means that it's not recognized as a legal wager because you're using an illegal bookmaker to make the bet.
Got it.
That's when you run afoul of this Rule 21 rule in the collective bargaining agreement, which then gives the commissioner full discretion on what the punishment is. So Shohei's not at risk of going to prison or being arrested or any of that. They're going after the bookmaker for that.
Got it.
But where I'm trying to figure out the play here is this. Once you come out and you've now publicly accused the interpreter of embezzlement, wire fraud, and theft, and you've turned over whatever documents you claim to have to the federal investigators, that person, the interpreter in this case, is now looking at the real possibility of doing time in federal prison.
Yeah.
And as much as you might think you know him, as soon as you turn your back on him publicly, I know what the prosecutors are going to do. They're going to press him as much as they possibly can and ultimately possibly offer him some kind of deal or even immunity to go after the bigger fish, which in this case is the face of baseball and Shohei Ohtani. So he better have it locked down that there was never a single bet on baseball, because if he doesn't have that locked down,
right,
there's no doubt in my mind this interpreter turns.
What's interesting is his interpreter, Mizuhara, who's now told us two different stories essentially, also is adamant he only bet on soccer, the NBA, the NFL, and college football.
Yeah, I don't buy that.
I don't buy it at all, too, because he was making, you know, $200,000 to $300,000 a year, nice living, but he racked up a $4.5 million debt, which means he was getting desperate. If he's desperate and he's inside an MLB locker room with intimate knowledge, how do we not come to the conclusion he placed bets on baseball?
No, look, maybe he didn't, but again, let's not be naive. My opinion is that there's a better chance that he did than he didn't. So I'll walk you through the mind of a compulsive gambler, because I am one. When you're a compulsive gambler and you're starting to chase losses, you typically lose all discipline, whatever discipline you might have had, in making wagers in the first place. Now you're desperate, because if my boss finds out that I'm $4 or $5 million in the hole, I'm out of a job and I'm screwed and I can't pay the bookie off, right?
Yeah.
So you're now going to make betting decisions, which, again, are not rational to the average person, but in the mind of a compulsive gambler, what he's going to do, most likely, is I'm going to try to make a bet on something I know better than anything else. I suck at betting international soccer, clearly. I suck at college sports and the NFL. What sport do I know the most? Exactly what you're alluding to. I'm inside the Dodger locker room now, and in the past in the Angels locker room. And I'm privy to information on injuries, who's playing, who's not playing, who had a tough day, whose fastball isn't, you know, at 99 miles per hour, et cetera. And it makes complete sense to me, having lived that life, that the way out of the debt is to bet on something you know better than anyone else, which would bring me to him betting on baseball. Now, this bookie, according to what I've read, if this is a legitimate widespread major operation, the way it sounds, this guy most likely has a track record of every single wager ever made by this interpreter or anyone on his behalf.
Yeah.
Because you don't give, I don't care who you are, you can talk to any bookie in the tri-state area. If you know a guy's making $250,000 a year, you are not extending him credit to go in $5 million into debt. It will not happen.
Right. So now the question becomes, why is Major League Baseball, and this is what Evan led our show with, why are they not investigating? Is it because they're sitting behind the federal investigation, or are they just literally giving him the benefit of the doubt?
No, they're not giving him the benefit of the doubt. So I spoke with high executives with Major League Baseball this morning, and they will reach out, if they haven't already, now the few hours have passed, they will reach out to the federal investigators that are in charge of this case out in California. And if the investigators tell them that they have no problem with a parallel investigation into what happened, then baseball will begin their own investigation. There are times, however, because of the sensitive nature of information, the access to witnesses or people willing to talk to you, that the Fed sometimes will say, do us a favor, wait for us to finish our investigation, because it's a criminal investigation now, and then you can do your own once we're done.
Got it.
So I'm not sure where that's at now, but baseball for sure is not sitting on its hands. They're going to wait for the feds to give them some direction as to when they can start their own.
How worried are they? Because this could be, you know, and we talked about it back in the day, you know, with gambling and becoming more prevalent, that this is the fear sports has, where it loses kind of the trust of the public. How nervous is and should Major League Baseball be about what they're going to find out?
I can't answer that only because I don't know the private conversations that Rob Manfred and his team have clearly had to have had now with Shohei and his team. And if you buy the fact that Shohei really does not speak a lot of English, this is through a different interpreter, right? A third interpreter, a second interpreter now. So they've got a long flight home, and I guarantee you this conversation is taking place. And my gut would be, based on what they gleaned from that conversation, their level of worry would change dramatically. I can tell you this. Much like Roger Goodell in the NFL, Adam Silver, of course, and Gary Bettman, and what you said, this has always been their biggest fear. And in this case, you're not talking about the 25th man on a roster where you can kind of kick it down the lane and put it under the rug and no one knows about it. Like I said, and you guys know, This is the face of sports.
Yeah,
no
yeah.
bigger asset in the world than this guy, which is why it's so troubling. So baseball's got to be concerned about it, because if there's a bet on baseball, they're going to have to suspend him.
Yeah.
And there can be no wiggle room on that.
Yeah.
One other thing that came out, which I find interesting, how people kind of, you know, just jump along without doing any research on, there is a clause in Shohei's contract which says specifically, if the team president or ownership changes, he would have an out to get out of the contract.
Yes.
There is no clause in his contract that says if they fire the interpreter,
right.
he can void the contract.
Yes. So, that is it. By the way, that is an urban legend that's grown. We took calls on it today, and I was telling everybody what you said, which is, no, that's not true. It's not the interpreter. It's the team president. So it's not like Otani's opting out and, you know, walking to the Bronx tomorrow.
Yeah. Craig, let me ask you this before we let you go here. As a current athlete, you have to be acutely aware of the consequence of gambling on your sport. I mean, every player has heard this ad nauseum, and I refuse to believe it's lost in translation just because Shohei Ohtani doesn't speak English, right? Why would he, or anybody that gets involved in this, who's making millions and millions upon millions of dollars, over half a billion over the course of this contract, why would he even entertain this?
All right, so it's a good question. I've seen a lot of people reference, he makes so much money, why would he gamble? And all I can say in that is, you know, I made a lot of money and I gambled.
Hmm.
The amount of money you have, the income you have, doesn't dictate whether or not you're willing to take the risk of gambling.
True,
a lot of,
true. But Craig, you're not gambling on Sports Talk Radio, right? Right. So, like, why, you know what, where you eat type of thing? That's what I'm asking.
Yep, because once you're sitting home alone in your apartment or your house, you're not thinking about the rules. And to be fair, the NFL especially, the rules are a little convoluted as to what you can and can't do, where you can and can't do stuff. Like, real quick, just as an example, an NFL player can wager on, you know, college basketball, let's say, right?
Yeah.
But he can't do it from the car that he's sitting in the team parking lot. That violates the rules. Now, if he drives across the street to the local Wawa, he can make the bet from there, but he can't do it, you know, at the team facility. So there are some convoluted rules. And largely, Teek, and you know this better than anyone, you know, we're talking about young men, type A personalities, who aren't all that concerned with what the teacher has to tell them.
Yeah.
You know, the best example of that, and you've lived this life with guys, and I know guys, whether they've been, you know, talked about or not, a bad example, but the NFL has long had a policy where they offer players free car service 24/7. You get a phone number, you call the number. It's kind of like Uber, but specifically for NFL players. And yet, you know, every year there'll be NFL players who get in the car, unfortunately, and make bad decisions.
Right.
They're aware that the car service exists.
Right. They don't want the team to know.
Right. Right. So now play that. Let's say this is maybe the best example I can give you. You're a teetotaler, you're a by the rule guy. You're not going to set up an account on one of the gambling sites, but your younger brother's interested in it, so you're going to fund it, but he's going to set up the account. And, you know, he lost his job. He's having a tough time. He's got to pay his mortgage. And you're tired of writing him the check. You know, hey, by the way, I like the Falcons this weekend, you know, and whatever, you're on your bye week or something like that. That happens all day, every day.
Mm.
And people think that current pro athletes, in some way, shape, or form, whether it's directly or indirectly, are not currently wagering on their own sport, you're wrong. Now, not all of them are. I hope it's not the majority.
Mm-hmm.
But I will guarantee you, as sure as I'm standing here, there are active players in every sport that are gambling on their sport, whether it's directly or indirectly. It is happening.
Yeah, and the problem is, in football, I think by proxy, you can still get in trouble. But in baseball, kind of technically, you can dodge it. Right? The way the
rule, because
you have to, make the bet in baseball.
Stringent.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, but look, once they decided that they're going to let guys wager on every other sport except for their own, like, you went to Virginia. You're probably friends with the guy who played basketball on the varsity basketball team, right?
Yeah, of course.
He doesn't want to admit it after this week.
Yeah, well, like, yeah, it's a bad game. But, like, you're on the Giants. It doesn't mean you're not friends with a guy in the NBA.
Yeah, of course.
So, and you guys talk, hey, what's Michael Strahan really like? What's Tom Coughlin really like? And that goes back and forth. And there will be guys that will wager on that information, 100%. Yeah.
Amazing. It'd be a fascinating story to follow over the next couple of weeks. Craig, I appreciate it. 7 a.m.
Yeah, I'll give
FS1.
You one last thought.
Yes.
This is just food for thought.
Yes.
Like, I'm trying to figure out what happened that would make Otani's advisors and now this law firm out in California What would make them, within an hour after the interpreter was interviewed by ESPN, I think Thompson was the reporter.
Yeah.
What would make them suddenly do an about-face and throw this guy under the bus? And to me, one of the things you have to at least consider is that he bet on baseball. And if he bet on baseball and Ohtani's bailing him out, Ohtani's now guilty by association.
Yeah.
If he bet on baseball and Ohtani's going to claim the money was stolen from me, I had no idea, he creates a little buffer for himself there.
Right. Makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense. You're right.
Yep.
Thank you, man. We appreciate it.
Appreciate you, Craig.
All good. Be good.
The great Craig Carton. You can still watch him on TV every day, 7 a.m. FS1. Bad Tiki's just 5 minutes away. It's a Bad Tiki Thursday. We still got a lot to do. We've talked a lot about Shohei Ohtani, but that's not all today. There are some NFL rules that may be changing real soon. We'll get to that coming up at 5 o'clock. Right now, we go to our NCAA Men's Tournament score desk. And so far, Michigan State advanced. Duquesne pulled off a big upset over BYU. Arizona beat Long Beach State. Wagner's getting their ass kicked, unfortunately. Despite me wearing the Wagner green on my beard today out of support for them and the St. Peter's Peacock blue on the other side of my beard for them, right now Wagner's down by 18 with 6 minutes to go. So it's not looking good for our Seahawks of Wagner. Morehead State hanging in there against Illinois at the half, down by one. So that's where we are day one of the NCAA tournament. But right now, it's that time of day, that time of week we wait all week for. Bad Tiki is a sentient AI-generated being and is not affiliated with or representative of the real Tiki Barber. The views and opinions expressed by Bad Tiki do not reflect those of Tiki Barber, WFA and Odyssey, or its advertisers. Tiki Barber is a real person with his own thoughts, beliefs, and opinions, which are entirely separate from those expressed by Bad Tiki. Listeners and viewers are strongly advised to exercise critical thinking and discernment when engaging with the Bad Tiki segment. Bad Tiki, welcome back!
Guys, this segment is too much for me. It doesn't pay enough, it's too much preparation, and I miss my favorite 4:30 Zumba class. So I've set my sights on another career path. Bad Tiki is going to Hollywood, Martin Scorsese. Call me Bad Tiki in the bright lights.
Oh, hold on, Bad Tiki. Acting is not an easy profession. It's a lot of work. Like, you've never acted in your entire life.
I'm not going to take career advice from you. It's true what they say about you, regular Tiki. You don't want to see Bad Tiki shine. When I was a rookie and I needed guidance, you were nowhere to be found. I could have used someone to look up to, even though you are significantly shorter than me. I'm just speaking my truth. Hashtag Ryan was right. Hashtag Team Clark. Hashtag speaking my truth. Bad Tiki truth.
Oh, jeez.
Bad Tiki, we are all Team Real Tiki over here. I don't want to hear anything more about Ryan Clark. What I do want to hear about, though, is your blossoming acting career.
I'm glad you asked, Sean. I'm more than just a tall, handsome ex-pro. I want to follow in the footsteps of the greats who came before me. Legendary athletes who had amazing acting careers. Brian Bosworth, Brett Favre, and O.J. Simpson. The juicy, innocent on all accounts, I'll remind you. Shout out to A.C. Cowlings.
Fantiki. Those are, I mean, you couldn't have come up with more terrible acting careers. And O.J. Simpson is not exactly a good role model, bro.
Evan, you know who is not a good role model? A father who would rather spend time watching grown-ups play baseball than spend time with his own son. Oh, so much so that he's become a pathetic slob who hasn't shaved or cut his hair in months. I'm not talking about you, Evan. This is just an example of a bad role model. A fat, stupid, redheaded bad role model.
Oh, yuck. Come on, Bad Tiki. Enough with that. Let's stop talking about the role models. Talk about your acting career, please.
Great question, regular Tiki. Let me show you my acting chops. Here's looking at you, kid. I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse. Luke, I am your father. Here's Johnny.
Bad Tiki, that's not acting. You're just saying famous movie lines.
To infinity and beyond. Oh, you shall God. Not pass. I'll be back. You're going to need a bigger boat. I am the captain now. I see dead people. Most women at one time or another have done it, so you do the math.
You don't think that I can tell a difference?
No.
Get out of here.
Oh, God. Ooh, oh, God. Oh, God. Yeah, right there. Yes. Oh.
Are you okay?
Yes. Oh, God. Huh. I'll have what she's having.
Was that from When Harry Met Sally?
Bad Tiki, that is still not acting. You're just reading the lines, dude.
I should have known you wouldn't be supportive regular Tiki. You never have been. Regular Tiki, you taught me what I didn't want to be as an actor. You don't make a young Hollywood star feel welcome. Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
But okay, but bad Tiki. I think we get it. You don't want to do this anymore. You want to be an actor. We wish you all the best, man.
I'm also just a girl standing in front of a boy asking him to love her. You complete me. I wish I knew how to quit you.
Bad Tiki, are you still reading lines?
No, I'm just thinking about Mrs. Roberts. Honk, honk, waka, waka. Mrs. Roberts, call me out. Yeehaw. By the way, regular Tiki, you are dead to me. If that's a problem, I'm easy to find. Bad Tiki, out.
Thank you, Bad Tiki. Wow, he channeled his inner Ryan Clark today.
Oh, jeez.
Bad Tiki is a sentient AI-generated being he's not affiliated with or representative of the real Tiki Barber. The views and opinions expressed by Bad Tiki do not reflect those of Tiki Barber, WFAN, Odyssey, or its advertisers. Tiki Barber is a real person with his own thoughts, beliefs, and opinions, which are entirely separate from those expressed by Bad Tiki. Listeners and viewers are strongly advised to exercise critical thinking and discernment when engaging with the Bad Tiki segment. Thank you, Bad Tiki. Every day, 4:30, rewind the Odyssey app if you missed it. You can hear Bad Tiki. Now, tomorrow, I don't know if this is getting enough attention. Tomorrow, in New York City, in Brooklyn, New York, we have the NCAA tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And I was online earlier this morning to see tickets. They are very expensive. Talking about secondary market tickets.
Okay, how much?
Like $150 to get in.
Wow.
You imagine that?
No,
I think UConn plays a part of that because a lot of people want to see UConn, which I get. But the games we have, like tomorrow, we got Florida Atlantic Northwestern, which, I mean, do we have a lot of alum of Northwestern? Maybe a few.
Actually, there probably is a good amount.
That's what I was going to say. Like, I definitely think we have a few.
Yeah.
Florida Atlantic, not as much, but they did make that run last year. UConn Stetson, doesn't matter who they play, it's UConn. And then you've got Duke Vermont. You know Duke's a draw. And then Wisconsin James Madison. But I think what it is, in my opinion, besides the alumni that's going, besides people that are like, hey, I went to UConn or hey, I'm a Duke fan, I feel the NCAA tournament is one of those bucket list sporting events. It's one of those events where you're like, I got to go to one.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned to you, I went to the NCAA tournament years and years ago when I was at Continental Airlines Arena.
Yep.
And I feel fulfilled. Like, okay, I've seen the tournament. And I do think that the NCAA tournament, when it comes to our city, which is not that often, is a bucket list event. And I think that's why that place is not only going to be packed, but it's going to be a hot secondary market secondary market ticket.
Right.
Because I think it is one of those events that you circle and say, I got to go there before I'm dead.
Right, especially if it's close and it's easy to get to. And it's interesting, too, because college basketball has changed so much in that we don't necessarily know all the players. Like, if you ask me who the best college basketball player is right now, I'd say Caitlin Clark because I know her more than I know anybody in the men's basketball.
1,000% right.
I'm not even joking.
And you represent the majority when you say that. Yes.
But you say Duke or you say UNC or you say one of these other teams that have become familiar to us simply because of the success that they've had, then it's interesting.
Yeah.
So even without knowing, like, I got to go see XYZ player, it's like, okay, I want to see this team play.
I never thought it's changed
a little bit.
Maybe it was different in the 80s. So if you're a little bit older than me, I can see you having a different view. But for me growing up in the late 90s, early 2000s, I don't think the players were ever the stars. I don't think the players were ever, like, recognizable.
They weren't, but you knew them.
You knew them more than today. I agree with that.
Think about those Duke teams.
Yeah.
Like, or the UNLV team. Like, you knew, and you still know those guys' names.
You did know their names, but I don't think they were the bigger stars. I think the bigger stars were, A, just the universities and their histories, and then the coaches.
Of course.
The coaches were the stars. Now, it's a little different now because it's not like Coach K is coaching Duke anymore. It's not like Jim Calhoun is coaching UConn anymore. It's not like Jim Boeheim is coaching Syracuse anymore. Yeah. So it's changed. But I always looked at college basketball as the calling card, the thing that sells tickets, the thing that gets eyeballs, was never, ever the student athlete. Even if you're right, we knew more about them years ago. I think it was always just the tradition of the school, like UConn. Is why people are going to go to Barclays Center tomorrow afternoon. Duke is why people are going to go to Barclays Center on Friday night.
But don't you
think, the school.
But don't you think there was a moment when it was like, I got to go see Patrick Ewing?
That's the 80s, yes.
Yeah.
But I'm saying even in the like early 2000s, like, no.
Yeah.
No, I think.
I think it left when I left college.
I think so, too, because I'm talking about, like, for the last 20 years, a lot of the great superstars in college were there briefly.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Carmelo Anthony's one-year run at Syracuse. Dude, it was brief.
Yeah.
Look at Zion Williamson, yeah, R.J. Barrett, and Cam Reddish's run.
What year was
it
that?
Was brief. 2002. Maryland won in 2002, Melo won in 2003, and then he was drafted 2004. Yes, yeah. 2003.
So it was like at the end of my college career with the Vince Youngs of the world. I mean, not Vince Youngs. Vince Carters of the world, right? Those when those guys were fourth years.
Yeah.
Right? They would stay their entire careers.
Right. You would get like two or three March runs out of these guys.
Yeah, and absolutely. And so you knew the player. Obviously, you knew the team too, but you knew the player. But then the Carmelo era, which was a couple years later, it was like, all right, I'm one and done. I'm in and out. And I remember when that happened, like the one and done thing.
Yeah.
It was as a football player, you're almost jealous, but you almost were saying, there's no way I could play in the NFL at 19 years old.
Different world,
I would get my ass kicked.
No, I know. Different world.
It would not work.
I think that when you get older sometimes, you start to think that the things you loved when you were younger is not as good.
Yeah.
You have this bias.
Yeah.
But when the reality is, it's just as good.
Yeah.
So I look at college basketball, and I've gotten this sense with people my age, maybe a little bit older, of, it's not as good as it used to be. I think the audience disagrees because the ratings for college basketball are still strong. I think Selection Sunday had the highest rated Selection Sunday in 5 years. So even though we've lost some of the big name coaches, even though a lot of the stars aren't as recognizable, and I agree with you when you say, hey, I know Caitlin Clark. I can't name that many guys in the tournament. I think you represent a lot of people when you say that.
Yeah.
But I also say it doesn't matter. Because at the end of the day, the appeal of this tournament is the same as it's always been. It is filling out a bracket. It's watching crazy games with crazy results where you don't know what's going to happen, or a school that you have an affinity to or a hatred for, no matter who's playing for them, will elicit strong opinions. If you hated Duke 20 years ago, you still hate Duke, even if Coach K isn't there. So I think college basketball is the same as it's always been, even if it's completely different. It's the same in that it still invokes the same passion. But I was thinking, like, all right, the NCAA tournament's like a bucket event. What other bucket sporting events are really out there? Especially ones that you may not have gone to, or I've gone
Super
to,
Bowl
or not gone to.
Is number one, right?
What was your first Super Bowl? One you played in?
No, I went to the 2000 Super Bowl, which was...
No, that was the one you played in.
No.
Are you talking 99-2000?
Which was the Rams.
Rams against the Titans.
Right, and I remember going to that game. It was in New Orleans, because I had to walk to the game. Because, I mean, traffic was, like, standstill. So we walked whatever it was. It was only, like, a mile and a half, but it felt forever. And I remember sitting there saying, I'm never coming back to this thing unless I'm playing in it.
Ah.
And then the next year, I was playing in it. I went with, like, with Zinnia. My ex-wife used to work for him. So I went with them as guests, and we were going, go Giants, in the middle of the
game. Right? Oh, I would have hated you. Right?
We were
rooting for a team that's not even in it.
We were in a suite, so it didn't matter. No, but I remember saying, I'm never coming back to this thing unless I play in it. And then I played in it the next year. And then 2 years after that, my brother went.
All right,
I ended up going to a lot of them.
So you've been to a lot of Super Bowls, not a surprise. Have you ever been to a World Series game?
I have not.
Wow. Oh, I'm writing this down. He's never been to a World Series game.
Never been to a World Series
game. Have you ever been to an NBA Finals game?
Nets. I told you this.
That's right. He left.
I left.
He left.
Because Jewel was the halftime.
he went.
We figured it out, actually, when we were at the Brooklyn Nets game.
I remember
it was,
this.
It was
now,
like game three, I think.
Well, you discussed. It was the game. Yeah, they lost game three and five at home, and it was game three. Yeah. He disgusted me because he's like, oh, yeah, I went to Nets Spurs NBA. No, he said, I went to the Nets in the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
And I said, well, they went to back-to-back. Which one was it? And you remembered, you're like, it was the Spurs one. It was the second one. I said, okay, that was the one we had a chance in. Maybe you saw them win. And he's like, I saw them lose, and I left at halftime. I'm like, you left an NBA Finals game at halftime?
Yes, because Jewel played.
And she didn't do a good job.
Well, she's great. It was just not what you expected a halftime show.
It's a halftime show. What were you expecting?
I don't know. Something hyped. Like, not Jewel.
Is that the only NBA Finals game you've ever been to?
That is the only NBA Finals game I've
ever
been to.
So you've never been to an NBA Finals game?
I'm not traveling outside of this area to go to a game.
That's fine.
And so it was the Nets then, and I was, and it was like literally across the street.
Yeah,
right, because they were in Continental at that point.
I get you.
I think it was still called Continental.
It was. Right. It was not Izod quite yet.
It wasn't Izod yet.
I've been to one NBA Finals game. It was the same Finals, not that game. I went to Game 5,
right,
which is just an absolute killer in my heart. Tied 2-2. They wore the ABA jerseys, but that's it. Because you bring up a good point.
That's right. Like, when we talked about this, we thought, dude, we were not at the same game, were we?
No, and definitely not.
I was 3, you were 5.
Yeah, if you went to Game 5 and left early, series tie, that's just ridiculous. All right, so you've been to a Finals, but not really. You've never been to a World Series.
No. Nope.
You've been to a Super Bowl. You've definitely never gone to a Cup Finals game.
No.
You've been to an Olympics.
Been to multiple, yeah.
What other sporting events
Derby.
Counts?
Kentucky Derby.
Kentucky Derby.
The Masters.
Masters, yes.
Masters, definitely.
Yeah. Really?
That's tops on my list right now.
Have you been to one?
I
met Fred Couples at the
I've been on the waiting list now going on almost 20 years.
There's a 20-year waiting list to get tickets to go to the Masters?
Well, you apply every year, and then you get an answer back every year. And every year I've gotten, you know, regretfully tell you that you have not been selected.
Wow.
You know how to eliminate the waiting list? The Masters should just build a toaster oven type golf course and then charge PSLs in the waiting list.
That's a good point.
Well, I was going to ask, like, a lot, especially nowadays, if you really wanted to go to one of these events, you can go. You just have to pay an awful lot of money. Like, if you want to go to a Super Bowl, you go on a StubHub or a SeatGeek or whatever it is, and you can pay the money and you can go. Do they give you that opportunity at the Masters? Like, are there
you
resale
could buy packages.
Tickets?
Yes, you could buy packages.
How much do they go for?
Well, I mean, I haven't looked into it in about five years or so, but you could buy packages for multiple days. I mean, they go for thousands and thousands.
Oh, wow. So it's expensive.
Yes, very expensive.
Unbelievable.
Yes, there's like brokers that sell complete packages, you know? With hotel and all that.
It's kind of worth it.
Is it? Have you been to a Masters?
Yeah. I told you. It's when I met Freddie Couples. It got rained out.
You told me this? I don't remember.
I think
this.
I did.
Like
I didn't
2 find this. Minutes ago, he just said.
Oh, it was 2 minutes ago? I guess I was distracted.
You were distracted.
I'm sorry.
Because it got rained out. Thursday got rained out.
So you never went to a Masters because it got rained out?
We were there for multiple days. But we go Thursday just to see who's putzing around.
Right.
And so we're on the putting green, and this guy is like yelling at me, show me your ring. It was 2003. I'll never forget it. He's like, show me your ring.
What ring did he mean?
He thought I was Rondé.
Oh!
Because Rondé loves golf, and he knows all these golfers. So he's like, show me your ring. I'm like, I don't have one. And he's like, oh, you're Tiki. I'm the biggest giant fan on tour.
Yeah, BS.
It was Joe LaCava. So he is. And at that time, who is now Tiger's caddy, but at that time, he was Freddie Couples' caddy.
Did you then show him your NFC Championship ring?
I did not, but
you know how embarrassing that would have been if he showed the NFC Championship.
I don't wear it. He took me to the locker, to the like the champions' locker room.
That's pretty cool.
It was actually awesome. It was better than actually watching the Masters.
Would you want to go to the Masters, Sean?
No interest.
That wouldn't do it. No, I agree.
No, have some drinks.
From what
you just
I was
walk around.
From what I was told, because it's so unique and exclusive, they don't sell. There's very limited amount of tickets.
Yeah,
so
it's not
like
crowded.
The golf. Right, exactly.
It's not like the Waste Management Open
or the U.S. Open where they sell 80,000 tickets per day, and the place is just a madhouse.
It's comfortable.
Correct.
It's comfortable.
No, and listen, I respect that you guys are. I'm with Sean. I would have no. You could offer me the tickets for free, and I'd say I ain't going to Augusta.
I enjoy. You wouldn't want to go to either.
No. Wait, I wouldn't want to go where?
Kentucky Derby.
No interest, no. Doesn't do it for me.
I'd love to do that.
Yeah. Well, it takes two. It's 2 minutes. It's a bunch of horses running around in a circle.
There's tons of races.
There's a day of races. You're gambling, you're drinking.
Yes. So you got to watch horses run around in circles multiple times?
Yeah.
I find that very disgusting.
But I'm in on that. By an hour and a half in, you barely remember.
So basically, you're getting there to get drunk. Is that what you're telling me?
It's like a big tailgate.
Okay, look,
it's
that's
massive.
You're not
awesome.
Scoring the horses running around it.
Listen, when I'm talking about all these sporting events in my brain, it's like, would I love to see it? You're basically saying, I just want to get drunk.
Not
okay, go into your basement and get drunk and put it on TV. Isn't that the same thing, basically?
It's not the same thing. There are events I'd want to see. I've never been to a Yankee Red Sox game at Fenway. I'd love to do that.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good, easy one I should have done.
I've done
by
that
now.
One. What else?
I've never been to a World Series game.
Yeah. You've never been to a World Series game?
I want to do Daytona.
I was going to just say, I'd love to do Daytona.
Would you really want to watch the cars run around in the circle?
It's the same thing, dude.
It's a party. It's a day party.
It's the same thing.
Okay, no, listen, I respect that you guys want to get drunk. I do.
It's
that's fine.
It's not getting drunk. It's just having, like, it's
the environment.
Socializing.
Yeah.
It's like a great environment. There just happens to be a race going on.
I'm feeling the rush.
Okay. I think most people probably agree with you. They think I'm weird. I'm just being honest. Like, those kinds of things. Even the Olympics I wouldn't be interested in.
Are you kidding?
Nah, no interest.
What?
Nah, it doesn't do it for me.
Dude, you're missing, like, you could see great things. You could see greatness happen. Like, greatness. When Usain Bolt ran 9.59, I was there. It was unreal.
That's cool, I guess.
It was awesome.
Right? I'm with Evan, though. The problem is, even if you're seeing greatness, is it interesting greatness?
Well, you don't like... I love track and field.
Right.
So, like, watching these athletic feats was just... It was amazing to me.
Like, I love the bobsled, but I feel like in person, that's not appealing.
I think to me, I don't know if you look at it this way, when I think of, like, bucket list sporting events, it's things that I watch on TV, and now it's like, oh, my God, I'm here, and I'm seeing it live. Mm. Unfortunately...
Like, give me one. World Cup?
By the way,
We'll get the chance in 2026.
Yes, I would say the World Cup. I think the World Cup qualifies because when the World Cup does come around, I watch it. Like, I'm not an expert. I'm not, like, dying on every kick or dying on the pitch, as they say. But, yeah, when it's going on, I'll watch it. So I think that would qualify. But the Super Bowl, which I've been lucky enough to be at, you know, things that I'm watching on TV.
Yeah.
But something like... The NASCAR, what's it, the Daytona 500?
Uh-huh. Oh, my God.
Are you guys watching the Daytona 500?
I'll pay attention to it. Okay, it's hard to watch for the entire time because it's just a bunch of left turns.
That's my point.
But there are...
So now, like, you're there. Great. What do you get when you're there? You're watching the same crap you wouldn't watch on TV.
There's multiple ways to do it. So you can just sit there and just watch, or you can get the headset so you're listening to the spotters, right? So it's like you hear the conversation between the drivers and their spotter and what they're doing, like, take the high line, go high, you got to rack down low. It's actually really interesting when you know the details of it. It's just like soccer. Like, people hate soccer because they don't know how to watch soccer, but as soon as you learn how to watch soccer, it's actually a very interesting sport.
By the way, soccer's fine. I'm just saying, if you don't find it interesting watching on TV, what would make going to that game that much more interesting?
All you guys love hockey. Is hockey great on television?
It's fine on television.
Exactly.
It's fine.
Exactly.
What are you trying to say? It's better in person?
100%
is
better in
person. Yeah, but we watch hockey on TV sometimes.
Of course.
I'll be locked in tonight. Big game for the Islanders.
Okay,
big game. Better beat the Red Wings.
TV.
Must win.
And I can imagine in person, it's fantastic.
Yeah, but
like,
this
weekend, I'm going to the Red Bulls. Again, they're playing Inter Miami. Messi and Suarez, right, against Emil Forsberg.
That's
right?
A hot ticket.
It is a hot ticket. So I'm going on Saturday.
Good for you.
Right? It's a cool deal.
Yeah, sure.
By the way, that's a bucket list item, seeing Messi in person.
And guess what?
You're going to get it.
To do it.
But I'm not disputing soccer.
Me and Nate Hackett.
You really?
Yeah.
You going together?
Going Nate.
Oh, wow. You got to come back with stories?
I am.
I take him as a really boring person.
Are you kidding?
Like, I take him at, he would put me to sleep if we hung out.
No, he wouldn't.
Are you saying he's the opposite?
You'd love him.
I wonder what Nate would think of Evan.
Now, you might put him to sleep.
I don't know why. Maybe it's the offensive play calling. Maybe I'm stereotyping. But he seems like the kind of guy, like, nice guy. Don't get me wrong. But I'd be, like, bored by sitting next to him.
Stop.
Like, you just put me to sleep. Like, he would talk in a monotone voice. He would tell me boring stories.
He's more like you than you want to.
Really?
Because he's a nerd.
What kind of nerd, though?
He studied, what did he study? Like, physics, I forgot, astrophysics, something like that.
Tell him to study offenses, okay? Tell him to do that.
He's a nerd. He's like us. You'd like him.
But I get you wanting to go to a soccer game. You like soccer. So, of course, going to a game is exciting. I'm saying with the Daytona 500 or the Kentucky Derby, if you don't give a rat's ass about it, what would be so special about being there?
But I do. I mean, I grew up in Southwest Virginia.
That's
Martinsville Motor Speedway was 40 minutes away from
me.
So people talked about NASCAR when I was growing up.
Yeah, but this guy doesn't even watch NASCAR. He wants to go to the Daytona 500.
Oh, I want to go for the party. I do watch horse, or at least the Triple Crown, so I legitimately watch the Kentucky Derby every year. I'd love to be a part of it.
I'm trying to think of the other sporting bucket list thing that I haven't done that I would.
You know what was on my bucket list for a long time and now it's dead? It's over? I swear to God, it was on my bucket list, never accomplished it.
What's that?
It's a lot of these other things, luckily, I've been able to do. I've been to an NBA Finals. Mm-hmm. I've been to a World Series, a Super Bowl. I always had the Pro Bowl in Hawaii as a bucket list item. And now it's dead.
Yeah.
There's no game in Hawaii, and they don't even play the Pro Bowl anymore.
That sucks.
Even when they were playing in Orlando, it wasn't the same.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
It wasn't the same.
It was off my bucket list as soon as they went to Orlando.
But don't you think if you plan that trip and you flew 13 hours, and I've done Hawaii, lucky enough to go a couple times, you'd land and go, the last thing I'm doing right now is wanting to go to a football game.
I think that's a very, very chance that may have happened.
Right.
Real quick, because he's waited a while, John in Deer Park. What's up, John?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
We're good.
All right. I'm counting on Evan's integrity that if I prove to him the incorrect use of the term injury prone as applied to Aaron Judge, he will recant.
If you can prove it to me, I'm always a recanter when need be. Sure.
Follow the logic. Follow the logic because you guys are specific and we speak the English language and we all agree on the terms and the definitions. Injury prone is that prone to be likely to cause to be or happen, likely being probable. Aaron Judge, his physicality is not the cause of his injuries. His physicality or the inability to withstand the rigors of the baseball's everyday ups and downs is not the cause of his injury, as it is for Giancarlo, okay? Now, his first injury was caused by a 98-mile-an-hour fastball to the ribs caused by an individual having nothing to do with Aaron Judge.
Yes.
It's not probable. It's not likely.
Yep.
The second major injury of the three was caused by a brick footing, a concrete footing at the bottom of a brick wall that should have probably been gone and probably hasn't caused another broken toe in all of the decades it's been there.
Right.
Also not probable or likely.
Yep.
Therefore not prone. One of three injuries is caused by Aaron Judge's probability of a fielder laying out for a ball and impacting and causing injury.
Right, yes. John.
But that's
I want to ask you
one of three.
Okay, right. Well, hold on. I want to ask you a question.
Yeah, sorry, 30%.
I would be okay eliminating calling Aaron Judge injury prone if we can find common ground and call him something, because what he is not reliable
unlucky.
To play baseball.
Injury unlucky.
Injury unlucky.
Yeah, I know it sounds bad.
That's
it doesn't.
All I can come
it's
up
not
with.
Great, but
I'll leave it up to you.
Oh, you leave it up to me. Thank you. I'll stick with prone then.
Injury unlucky.
Look, the point is
it
this.
It doesn't sound cool when you say, he's injury unlucky.
It's not about cool or sounding right or packaging the right way. Aaron Judge is a marvelous baseball player. He is a great baseball player. Aaron Judge is unreliable to stay on the field because there always seems to be an injury.
Mm-hmm.
Now, John just laid out the case. Those injuries are not his fault. Well, I'd argue most injuries are not athletes' faults. But if you're not on the field and you're not reliable to be on the field, what do you want to call that person?
Injury unlucky.
You want to call him injury unlucky?
Yes.
Whatever. The point's the same.
Just like last year, Aaron Rodgers was injury unlucky.
But Aaron Rodgers doesn't suffer from an injury every single year.
Of course not.
Aaron Judge has been in Major League Baseball for 7 full seasons, and in 4 of those, he did not have full seasons. 4 out of 7. What does that make your percentage? 57%?
4 out of 7. Yeah, I guess something like that.
Thank you. 57% of the time, he doesn't play a full season. So we could parse the words all day. The bottom line is, he's not reliable. We'll get to your calls in a second. More on Shohei Ohtani. And the NFL is discussing interesting rule changes that we'll get into.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.